Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.
I want you to think of the nicest gift you've ever received in your life. The nicest gift ever. Christmas, birthday, anniversary. Just think back. Anything spectacular. I hope there's something. So the very first gift I've received from Andre after we started dating was a non-stick bar pan. So I did think this is a little bit interesting, but Andre was my first boyfriend. Okay, so I was like, is this what, you know, boyfriend's gifts? You know, is this what it looks like? So, but I didn't pay much attention. I was just too happy that I got something, you know. At least he didn't forget. Later, I discovered he was very frustrated with a pan that my friend and I, we lived in a bachelor flat, and we had a frying pan. It was not nonstick. Okay, so it was a horrible thing. And Andre was not happy the way this thing fried his eggs when he came to visit. So that I discovered after the birthday. He still claims to this day, claims that it was a gift for me. And he's not here this morning to defend himself, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But we have a rule now in our house, no kitchen stuff for my birthday. Nothing like that. I mean, by all means, we can buy a coffee machine, we can buy a new toaster, but not from the birthday budget, right? It must come from somewhere else, not for my birthday. Andre is able to give really nice gifts, I promise. You know, he actually gave me this beautiful necklace for our 22nd wedding anniversary last year. So just to, you know, restore his reputation, he can give really nice gifts, okay? Back then, he was just thinking, practical. Surely Sonika is going to be very happy with this gift. So I'm sure you have stories of awesome gifts you have received. I hope so. But I'm also sure you have stories of interesting gifts you have received over the years. But this morning, I would love to talk about something I want to call the ultimate gift. Something that in my life has overshadowed any and every gift I've ever received. And I'm pretty sure it will. I would never receive something like that in this measure that would bless me so much. And I want to introduce you to this gift this morning. So I want to take you to a scripture in John 14, verse 16. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was trying to explain to them that there would come a moment or a time when he's not going to be with them anymore. And obviously for them, it was very difficult to understand that. But he did tell them about something that will come in his place. So John 14, 16, Jesus says he's going to pray to the Father and the Father will give them another helper. Someone that is going to abide with them forever. So someone that's never going to leave them nor forsake them. Obviously for them at that stage, it was completely foreign. Right? They couldn't fully grasp what he was talking about. So I just want to give you a bit more context, what those two words, another helper, mean. Some of you might be familiar with this. Another means, or another in the Greek is the word allos, which means another of the same kind. So what Jesus was trying to say is the Father is going to give you someone besides me and in addition to me, somebody who would actually do in my absence what I would have done if I was physically present with you, which is powerful. And obviously for them, it was, they couldn't understand it. But this is what that word another means. Helper might be a bit more familiar to us. It's the Greek word parakletos. It signifies intercessor, somebody praying for us, helper. Somebody who really knows everything about anything, you know, business, science, math, music, whatever he's our helper. And for me, I've really experienced the Holy Spirit in all of these ways, you know, helper, intercessor, advocate, somebody who fights for us. You know, when you really feel alone and when when there's opposition and when you are not in a position to fight for yourself, or you shouldn't even really fight for yourself, God comes and he fights for us, right? He's our advocate. He's our counselor, giving us advice. And in all of these ways, the Holy Spirit has become something for me that is, I want to call the ultimate gift from a good father. The ultimate gift, the gift that ever overshadows everything. And I remember as a little girl, I grew up in a very conservative, traditional church, very traditional home. But I had this desire to know God. I really wanted to know Jesus. And I would literally give my life to the Lord over and over and over. Any opportunity at SCA, or, you know, there's a YWAM group coming to school, and then, you know, just to make sure I would respond again. But I always had this nagging fear or nagging doubt. What if this is not enough? What if this responding that I do is not actually enough to make sure that one day when I die, that I'm going to heaven? I was struggling with this. So at the age of 16, somebody prayed for me, and even at that moment, I really didn't understand what happened, but I noticed dramatic changes in my life afterwards. So somebody prayed for me to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because I grew up in a very traditional home, I was unfamiliar with this, it was foreign. I didn't really know what happened, but I noticed changes. Now, I shared a little bit a few weeks ago, but I fell just to share a bit of the story again. So first of all, this nagging doubt disappeared. This doubt that maybe I'm not going to heaven, maybe I'm not born again, maybe I don't have a relationship with God, it disappeared. To this day, I haven't had one moment of doubt, which for me was so liberating. Because I grew up consciously, I was anxious. I would lie awake at night, calculating, you know, have I done enough to make it to heaven? And that doubt disappeared completely. Something else that happened is the Bible started coming alive, making sense. So even though I've spent a lot of time in the Bible before somebody prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden afterwards, it started making sense. Scriptures would come alive, it would speak with me, and it would inspire me to read more. I would have this hunger to read the Word of God. Something else that happened is I received a boldness to talk about Jesus. So I grew up very, very shy, very scared. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel scared anymore. I didn't feel embarrassed anymore. I didn't feel this intimidation anymore to talk about God. I just received a boldness. So all of these things in my life just transformed my relationship with the Lord. Nothing was the same again afterwards. And over and above this, I received a prayer language, which I want to explain to you. I received the ability to pray in a language that I didn't understand, and I really didn't know much about it at that stage in my life. I didn't really have anyone who could explain it to me, but I received words, or in the beginning, actually really just syllables, just like something that, you know, I couldn't really call a language at that stage, but I received something that made my spirit alive. And I just knew something's different. I received a gift that transformed my whole walk with the Lord. And my desire is for all of you to experience this. And even if you have experienced this, to share with you this morning that there's a greater measure. There's a greater measure of the Holy Spirit available at all times and always, and this is what we need to seek after, right? We need to, at all times, ask the Lord for more. And, you know, something that for me was also transformational is because God has given me this gift to pray in the Spirit or to pray in tongues, I could pray without ceasing. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says we need to pray without ceasing, and I never knew how to do that, right? I'm just laying a foundation. I know most of you are familiar with this, but maybe some of you are not. I could pray without ceasing. I could pray all the time in my car. I could pray while somebody else was lecturing, you know, or teaching in a class. I could actually pray in the spirit. So for me, that scripture all of a sudden started making sense. Pray without ceasing. Because so many things changed in my life. And maybe some of you wonder, how do you receive this gift? How do you, even if there's just one or two of you, I want to answer that question. How do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you need to reach a certain level of maturity? Do you need to do a few things right? Do you need to impress the Lord? No. We receive it as a child by faith, even if we don't understand everything. And at our Encounter One seminar, guys, we take you through a lot of scripture. We explain the theological side behind what is the gift that can be spoken publicly, the gift of tongues. When somebody brings a gift and there must be an interpretation, what's the difference between that and a prayer language? Because there's a difference, right? But if you have questions on this, there are answers. There's answers. From me this morning, you're going to hear my story and you're going to hear what changed in my life, because I want you to desire something that's going to be transformational to your walk with the Lord, right? So we receive this gift by faith from a good God. And I want to show you a scripture in Luke 11, because when I think about the Holy Spirit, there's many scriptures in the Bible about the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how it works. But this one for me is foundational that we need to always keep in mind. Luke 11 verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. If your son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, if somebody offers you a gift, right? If somebody comes to you on your birthday, do you expect a snake inside of this box? Okay. Now, unless somebody wants to, like, you know, boys will be boys, I tell you. So let's not exclude, you know, not a real snake, I suppose, but all kinds of plastic things, you know, that can scare you. In any case, you're not expecting, not as a rule, you're not expecting anything bad in a gift, right? You're expecting somebody who brings you a gift that it would be good, right? Especially if it's somebody that loves you. So what Jesus is trying to say here, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, he actually calls us an evil generation, right? If you being evil, because compared to God, we are all born in sin, right? We are all, there's a measure of evil in all of us compared to the holiness of God. So he says, if we know how to give good gifts to each other or to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Not to those who are mature, not to those who have prayed for 10 hours, not to those who have achieved something, you know, amazingly. No, for those who ask. And this is so important, you know. And even if you are here this morning and you have been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you have not yet received the gifts of speaking in tongues, I would love to pray with you at the end of the service, because it's the same. We ask for the gift by faith, we receive it as a child, right? So if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you are not yet praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues, I would love to pray for you this morning. Amen. So please be ready to respond at the end of the service. So I am very grateful for all the building blocks in my life. When I was a teenager, I gave my life to Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was baptized. So for me, it was foundational to everything after that. My choices I made at university, as a young adult, as a married woman, as a parent, all those things were foundational. So I'm very thankful. But I cannot park in the 90s, right? For me, there was revival for me that was serious revival. Somebody growing up in a traditional church, traditional home, to be baptized in water, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to start praying in tongues, to publicly declare, you know, that God has done something amazing in my life. For me, it was revival in my heart in the 90s as a teen. But I cannot stay there. You know, I cannot think back about the glory days in the 90s when God did something amazing in my life. I need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit today. And I know that God is wanting us as Christians to take ground, and sometimes it's spiritual ground. Sometimes it's just things in the natural. You're starting a new business, or you're facing opposition in some way, or persecution, or something. God is calling you to do something. Then we need a greater measure of boldness. We need a greater measure of His Spirit. We need a greater anointing, right? We need more of God for every season in our lives. Because maybe what I had last year was enough for last year. But what I need for today and for 2024, what I had last year, it might not be enough. I need a greater measure of His Spirit. So I want to speak with two groups this morning. Some of you, maybe you do not know what I'm talking about in terms of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus, but maybe, you know, all these other things for you, that's foreign. That's the one group. The other group, you're very familiar. You're almost falling asleep now. I can see that. Sonika, challenge me a bit. Get to the point. I know all these things. I have something for you as well. There are some of you, for you, this is so familiar. It's so familiar. The Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, a greater measure of His Spirit. You're so familiar that you have stagnated, perhaps, or you're so used to it that it's just part of your life. And there's not necessarily this desperation for more of God. You know, when I was at school, I was just so desperate because I could not accept that what I have known and tasted of Jesus was it. There must be more, you know. But now in our environment, there's so many beautiful things happening, but we can easily become spectators. You know, God is moving. Andre's taking the mic. He's proclaiming things. You know, you're kind of just participating, but also being a spectator, you know, because in your personal life, there's not necessarily a push or a drive for more of God. And this is the second group, and that's definitely the majority of us this morning. We need a greater measure of God's presence at all times to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. And there's reasons for that. I really believe we need to take ground, but I want to give you two other reasons why. Why can't we just settle? You know, why is Andre always saying there is more? And he's going to say it a million times, so get used to that. There's more of God's presence. Why does he say that? Two things. I really believe that one encounter with God's Spirit might not be enough to carry us through until the end. And I'll show you in Scripture, because you could feel this is a wild statement I'm making. One encounter with the Holy Spirit might not be enough, because remember, life happens. Things happen. And then we need a greater measure of God's presence. Even if it's just to forgive or to believe again, there's disappointments. You know, I think that the church is sick with disappointment, because we have tried and we have believed, but now it did not work exactly according to our expectations. So we sit with some of our secret disappointments. And all we do, we withdraw. We're still here, but we're definitely not going to step out on water again like Peter did. Because the previous time, it was a disaster. Right? So what we do, we here, but we withdraw. And I believe if that starts happening, we might not have what it takes to endure until the end. So let me show you this parable, Matthew 25. Again, a parable where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. I love these parables because it brings the reality of the upside down kingdom into our world. We are citizens of heaven. Remember, we are foreigners in this world, which means we live differently. We're supposed to live differently from people around us. Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Bridegroom representing Jesus coming back to his church, the returning king. The lamp representing the Holy Spirit, or a measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So for me, it represents a measure of the Holy Spirit, but not a pursuit of more. They had a lamp. They were full to a certain extent with the Holy Spirit, but there was no pursuit of more of God. Somewhere they decided what I have is enough. So they stagnated. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So there was extra. There was abundance. There was more than enough. More than what they needed. So at midnight, verse 6, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So there's a little bit more to this parable, but this is the gist of it. I really believe one encounter with the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying it wouldn't be enough, I'm saying it might not be enough. Which means we can never receive the Holy Spirit and then take a back seat. We can't, because there's going to be things in our lives that's going to be challenging. And if we allow skepticism and disappointment and hurt and offense to quench that little flame that we have once received, it might not be enough. We might not be ready. On the day that Jesus arrives, we might not be ready, which means we need to consistently, intentionally, continuously push in for more of God's Spirit, right? And this is why Andre is forever going to challenge us to push in for more, right? Because we need to grow. We need to step out, and we need to be ready when the bridegroom arrives. Reason number 2, there's darkness all around us. I think you would agree. I mean, I'm not sure if the world's ever been as confused as it is right now, or this is how it feels to me. You know, if you have a child at school, if you are teaching, if you just look at what's going on at our schools, the confusion, even just the gender confusion, it sometimes looks as if the world's fallen on its head. You know, it's just things that could be very basic, maybe for you, a basic truth, is now all of a sudden very blurry to some people. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. This has been prophesied by Isaiah many, many, many moons ago. Already then, darkness and deep darkness, right? So we shouldn't be surprised by the confusion or the darkness. However, we can't be intimidated by it either, which means we need a greater measure of God's Spirit so that light can move into darkness and it can push it back. We're not gonna solve poverty and debt and divorce and destruction and addiction and gender confusion. We're not just going to solve it by having meetings or by talking about it, or we need to literally bring light where there's darkness. We don't have it in us to do it. It's only the Holy Spirit who can come in us and then move. Okay, by our own natural mind and reasoning. And you can reason with people for 10 hours. They're not necessarily going to change their minds about what they believe. We need a greater measure of God's Spirit. Really, we do. In this day and age, we need the Holy Spirit to, the last part of the scripture, there's deep darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness to people, but the Lord will arise over you. What is that? It's the Spirit of God rising upon us, and His glory will be seen upon us. It's not something in the natural. It's not our own abilities or our own goodness or our own way of, you know, making the world a better place. It is an increase in the Spirit and the anointing of God that's going to push back darkness. Right? Which means we as Christians, we can't just settle for the little bit of Jesus and the little bit of Holy Spirit we have received. We need more, right? We need more. So how do we fill up continually? How are we going to do this? I'm going to give you a few pointers. There's many ways and you need to figure it out for yourself, but you need to find a way to seek the Lord, to seek His presence, to seek more of Him and all of Him at all times. So first one, I've touched on this. Andre often talks about this, so I want to add my voice this morning to his. We have to consistently pray in the Spirit. So when I received my prayer language when I was 16, I enjoyed grammar at school. So I was listening to, you know, to these words I'm praying, and I was looking for the verbs. And the nouns and the adjectives, you know, the adverbs. And I was like, God, I don't see them, you know. It doesn't really sound like a proper language to me. So I was having this discussion with the Lord, very analytical. And God just said to me, Sonika, it's let go. This is different. Don't try and figure this out. Don't try and analyze this in the way you would analyze a language that you understand, because this is different. This is different. So I want to share this because maybe some of you are battling with the same thing, or maybe you have a friend or a family member asking the same questions. The prayer language that we receive when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's different from anything you could have ever understand, you know, it could develop into more words and more syllables, but it's not something that we can analyze or understand with our minds. And there's many scriptures explaining this. So please, if you have questions about praying in the Spirit, come to our Encounter One seminar where there's time to explain a lot. But we have to come by faith and we have to activate our spirits. You know, some of you have received the gift of tongues, but you hardly ever pray in it. Or you only pray when Andre says, let's pray in the Spirit. Then you pray. So I want to encourage you this morning to not neglect that gift. Do not neglect that gift. Get yourself a time. You know, when I drive in my car, please forgive me if I don't wave. Yeah, you're giggling because I might have driven like past many of you. Normally I'm in my, I know men's got a nothing box, okay? We forgive you guys for having a nothing box. My nothing box is in my car. I don't see anything. I don't see anybody. It's normally my time when I pray or when I worship. So I just look in front of me, okay? If I don't bump a car, that's a win. If I don't drive into anybody and I arrive at my destination, that's my goal. So please forgive me if I don't wave at you, but get yourself a time. Get yourself a time. It's just you. You can pray in the Spirit. You can activate that gift. Amen. Go for it. Get yourself a time. Jude 20 says, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You build yourself up. Maybe you think, you don't know if this is working. You don't know if this is if anything's happening. Keep on doing it. Right? And not just for a minute or two. Extend that time. Extend the time. See what happens. It activates our spirit. Right. Number two. We have to learn to pause when the King is in the room. This is what JP said earlier this morning during worship. And I'm very guilty of this one. So I'm really challenged to make a serious effort to pause more often. I always have something to do. You know, I believe if you can do it today, why do it tomorrow? Just do it today and get it done. But that's got its benefits, but it's also, there's negatives when Jesus is in the room and you are still busy. You know, when you're still busy. And I wanna just remind you of that portion in scripture with Mary and Martha in Luke 10. Jesus came to visit and Martha welcomed him in her home. And then it says Martha was distracted, right? In the New Living Translation, it says she was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. And then she was upset. And then she said, Jesus, but can't you tell my sister to help me? And then Jesus gave her this answer, which most of you would be familiar of. He said, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset about all these details, but there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it will not be taken from her. Now, often when we listen to the story, we think Mary, right. Jesus is very happy with Mary. He's not happy with Martha. So we shouldn't, just don't be a Martha, right? Whatever you do, just don't be a Martha. Just be a Mary. Now, where does it leave those of us who actually love to serve? Does it make it wrong? Is it wrong to serve? Is it wrong to host? Is it wrong to prepare a big dinner? No. I'm going to give you a few perspectives on this story. Some I've heard from other people, some is mine. And I want you to understand that there's more to this than just don't be a Martha and be a Mary. There's a lot more to this. So, first of all, my perspective. I believe if Mary quickly helped Martha to prepare the dinner, they could have both sat at the feet of Jesus. Many hands make light work, right? This is what I feel. But don't quote me because I don't think this is what Jesus means. Second perspective. What if Martha prepared for Jesus before he arrived? What if everything was ready and the moment he arrived at a door, she could just receive? But again, in an ideal world, right? What if Jesus just rocked up at a house? So let's have compassion on Martha. Okay, Jesus rocks up at your house. What do? Now, if you don't have time to prepare before the time, what do? I suggest you keep things simple. You know, she was distracted by the big dinner. She was obviously wanting to bless Jesus, which I can completely understand. But that was not what Jesus was looking for. I think sometimes we overextend ourselves. We have so much to do and such a high expectation of ourselves. We're trying to be everything for everybody. And then we don't have the ability to pause when Jesus is in the room. And I'm speaking to myself. Like I say, I always have lots to do. And then there's these moments where I can feel, even just in our home, you know, I'm busy, busy, busy. I hear Andre's worshiping. And then all of a sudden, I just feel God calls me. I feel the Holy Spirit kind of, Sonika, there's something here. And I mean, it's not tangible. It's abstract and it's almost just like a drawing. It's almost as if God says, Sonika, you can do this later, whatever you're busy with. But right now, there's a moment, there's an opportunity to meet. And if you're not going to leave what you're doing right now, you're going to miss it. Actually going to miss it. You know, like maybe on a Sunday when we call people forward, maybe you have another appointment after church or you have there's something you need to do and you're so fixed on that. You need to leave at this time. You don't have time to linger 10 more minutes. But then you miss God. You miss Jesus. And I think sometimes we just need to learn to pause our own plans. And I'm preaching as much at myself as at you guys. Because I need to learn to do this more often. Just let it go. It's not perfect, but 80% might be more than good enough for Jesus. Whatever you're busy with, so that you can have time to sit at his feet. Simplify your life. Do whatever it takes to be able to pause when the king is in the room. Do whatever it takes. Third one, we need to prepare for more. we need to prepare. We need to bring a bigger container. So sometimes we come with a really small expectation. Or we come with no expectation. You know, last year at our Open Heavens, it's coming up in 2 weeks. So please, whatever you have in 2 weeks happening, see if you can cancel it and join us for that weekend. Last year, before the conference, I said to Andre, look, I'm going to come with a big container for this one because all the previous conferences before that, I felt very overwhelmed because it was just so many things happening and worship sessions and worship practices, you know, preparing for the king, running around like Martha. And I said to him last year, March, I'm coming with an expectation to meet with God. I don't have a specific list. I just want to meet with him. And I'm going to ask the guest speakers to pray for me because sometimes I don't even speak with the people, you know, the important people. I mean, everybody's busy. I'm on stage, worship, I go off, and then before I know, you know, they're gone. And I said to Andre this year, I'm coming with a big expectation. And, you know, for me personally, I met with God that last year, March, like with no other conference. And I really believe it was because I said to God, Lord, I'm not settling. I'm not settling for just being busy or just running around. I want to meet with you. And at that conference, March last year, one of the speakers called me out. He actually prayed for me in front. And straight after he prayed for me, asked everybody with insomnias, battling with insomnias, to stand. And he didn't know that I was struggling at that stage. I was like, I'm going to keep standing. This is for me as well. So that night, there was a turning point. I had a wave of insomnia for 18 months. I did battle in the past. Some of you have heard the story. God really helped me to break free. But then I had another wave coming from me for me from September 2021 until March last year. And from that night, something shifted in my sleeping patterns. You know, and I didn't come to that conference for God to do this and this and this and this for me. I just said, Jesus, I want more of you. And for me, it was a significant weekend because God met me exactly where I was and where I needed him. But I was not going to settle for walking away from that weekend without receiving something from God. And I just want to share with you Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. It says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we can dare ask or think. Super abundantly more. You know, I don't think it can be clearer than this. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. Let's come with a bigger container. Guys, we can't come with our little tot glasses. It's not big enough. Come with a bigger container. Say, God, fill me up. Let it overflow. More than enough. More than enough. Amen. Then last one. We have to learn to partner with the Holy Spirit. We can't just receive. We have to learn to respond and give out so that he can fill us up again. Because we can't. Have you ever tried to breathe in and not breathe out? Give it a try. We can't just breathe in. Okay, what now? Oh, you have to breathe out. It's the same in the spirit. You can breathe in for the rest of your life. You can come to church. You can come to every conference. You can be everywhere and receive. If you're not going to give out at some point, you're going to reach a level that you're going to be full and you're going to stagnate. We have to learn to respond. And by that, I'm not saying, again, we're running around and we're doing a lot of things for God. We respond in obedience. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. You know, our son, Vian, is 15 now. He shared with me the story this past week. God led him to pray for a boy at school. He's got some other muscle conditions, so he's in a wheelchair. So he's very inspired now by, you know, us trusting God for healing. And he literally just said to the boy, look, I want to chat with you. Can we chat during break time? You know, just asking him about his relationship with the Lord and, you know, asking him, where are you sure? Where are you going when you when you die, and sharing with him like the latest he's going to be healed is in heaven. You know, just sharing everything he's learning at church. And then right at the end, he just said, look, may I please pray with you? You know, and it was such a moment. So, and it's been a big thing because there is pressure. You know, there's pressure to, we can't talk with everyone. We can't pray for everybody. But that moment when God leads you and you do it, you come alive. I can see with Vian, this thing is, you know, and it's not as if there was a miracle where the boy got up and got out of his wheelchair and he's walking. It was just a moment where he prayed and this boy had tears in his eyes, and it was the Spirit of God meeting. But Vian just literally responded to what God wanted him to do, and it brought him alive. Guys, if we step out, it brings us alive. We release life, but it releases life back to us, and that is the beauty. So the Holy Spirit is the ultimate gift from a good father. The ultimate gift from a good father. And there's so many amazing things that happen. Just lastly, before we're going to pray for some of you. When there's a consistent renewing of our spirits, a consistent infilling of the Holy Spirit, we start living a natural, supernatural life, which means it doesn't feel like the supernatural anymore. It just feels natural. You're just at work. There's a crisis. You do not know what to do. And God gives you a word of wisdom. You don't even think about it as a word of wisdom, but it's a gift of the Spirit. God gives you a supernatural ability to make a business decision or a HR decision or something that you need to sort out. Word of wisdom. God gives us words of knowledge. He gives us words of prophecy. We pray for somebody. It wasn't necessarily, oh, I'm going to prophesy over you now. No, it was just, may I please pray with you? And then all of a sudden, there's a word of prophecy. It happens spontaneously and naturally. It becomes part of our DNA. And that is transformational. You live on earth, but your home is heaven, which means there's a constant connection between you and the Spirit of God. And this is how we do our jobs, we do our marriages, we do our families. Something that for other people is supernatural, for us it just becomes natural. I mean, this is where we need to get to. We live a life of breakthrough because the breakthrough happens inside. So if I say we live a life of breakthrough, I'm not saying that there's never going to be sickness and nobody's going to get sick. No, it's never going to be a challenge. It's not what a life of breakthrough means. It means the breakthrough sits right inside, where there's faith, there's hope, regardless of what happens. There's joy, there's peace, or at least as a minimum, when we lose our joy and our peace, we get it back. When there's the fullness of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we live a life of breakthrough. And then we live a life of purpose. We live a life bigger than ourselves, a life that is not all about us and our dreams and our priorities and our families, which means that our life gets meaning. We want to get up in the morning. You know, if you're a teen and you go to school and all that life is about is math and science and, you know, whatever else you do and accounting and homework and tests, if that is your whole life, I have compassion, you know, that maybe it's not the best life on earth. But if you start living beyond that and you see your friends at school that they need Jesus, you get up in the morning, not only to go to school and to do your homework, you get up and you go to school to release light where there's darkness. I tell you, your whole life gets a different meaning. Same for us as adults in our workplace. You know, if you just do your job to earn money so that you can buy food. You know, we need more than that. We need a life of purpose. We need a life where we bring light where there's darkness, because then work is not bad anymore. There's purpose. Even in the mundane, even in the day-to-day things that we do not enjoy as much, it becomes full of meaning, because what if? What if there's 5 minutes at work where you can release light into darkness? Amen.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.